Hello and welcome once again to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our 13th study in the book of Deuteronomy. And today we come to chapter 8 and we pick up our study in verse 5. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses is speaking to the Israelites before he dies and before they enter into the promised land. And he is reminding them about God's laws and how good God has been to them, and telling them not to forget the Lord once they get into the land. And so let's begin our reading. Actually, in verse 2 it says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Verse 4, "Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years." And I talked about that last time just a little bit. It was a sign that God was taking care of them, and I'm not going to go into that in detail again. Verse 5, "Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." And so just as a good father disciplines his child because he loves his child, God allowed the hardships and the stretching of their faith for Israel's own good. He allowed it. He allowed it to make them stronger and to build character. And God says they need to think about that. They need to understand that that is true, and that God has been in control, therefore, through the good times and through the bad. 6. "Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him." It would be good enough reason to keep God's commands simply because God said so. But there are other reasons, namely the things we just read, things we studied last time. He provided food, he provided clothes and health for them for the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. And when he did send rough times, it was with the tender heart of a loving father. It was for their own good. 7. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and hills." Sounds like a paradise, doesn't it? The land God is about to give them not only has what they need, it has wonderful things to enjoy and plenty of it. How could anyone not want to please a God who is so good to his people? Verse 8. "A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, plenty of everything. This land had the blessing of God like no other." God mentions wheat and barley. In other words, not just one harvest of grain, but two. And he mentions vines and pomegranates, just a sample of the produce of that land, because according to one ancient Jewish writer, that land produced some of the finest produce nonstop for 10 months. And God mentions olive oil. Well, that is the best, and it is expensive, as you probably know if you do the grocery shopping. And the Holy Land was full of olive trees. And God also mentions honey. Lots of it produced by bees, and along with that, wild honey, which actually dropped from trees in the Holy Land. God had it all there, waiting for his people to enjoy. Verse 9. a land where bread will not be scarce. And bread is a reference to food in general. A land where food will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where the rocks and iron, the rocks are iron, I should say, and you can dig copper out of the hills. And so tremendous minerals in the rocks. They will be able to mine the land for minerals and in order to make all sorts of things to enhance their life. They're not going to lack anything in the Holy Land, anything they need or anything to delight in. Verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. God says, eat until you are full. Enjoy your abundance, but don't forgive to give thanks. Most people give thanks before they eat. God says give thanks after you eat as well. After you have enjoyed things, make sure you give thanks. We're learning all sorts of things about God from the book of Deuteronomy, aren't we? Verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Now you would think that having it good would just naturally produce thanksgiving. Actually, it often results in forgetfulness. God says, enjoy yourselves, but do not forget that I am your God, and do not forget to keep my commandments. And you know, thanksgiving is a good way to remind us that all that we have is from God. That's one of the benefits to us of thanksgiving. That's why God stresses it so much. Verse 12. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and God says that they're going to eat and they're going to be satisfied, not just once in a while, but all the time. And He also tells them they're going to build houses to live in. And what a pleasant change from the tents they lived in for 40 years that will be. And God says in verse 13, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, flocks are going to increase as well. They're going to have a very successful agricultural economy. The pasture land is going to be great, so their herds and their flocks are going to flourish. And so it'll even be good to be a sheep or a cow in the Holy Land. And the people are going to make good money on top of everything else. A wonderful future lies ahead for God's people, the Israelites. Verse 14, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Boy, and there is the depraved, evil heart of man right there. You see it. Good times, riches, health, happiness too often lead to indifference toward God. Too often it leads to an attitude of God? Well, who needs Him? I've got my act together. And that's what's going to happen to Israel, says the Lord. Verse 15. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the rock. Boy, that was a miserable place to be for 40 years. That desert. Nothing but dry, dusty rocks and barren mountains. But God provided what they needed, including water from a dry, dusty old rock. You take a hammer, you smash a dry rock, and you know what you're going to find? Well, I'll tell you, you won't find any water in there, only dry dirt. Now, what a miracle that was to bring water out of a dry, hard rock. Just notice how God can make anything work for His people when He adds His blessing to it. Verse 16. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. The Israelites were kept humble in the desert because they were totally dependent on God for food and water. And apart from God's intervention, there was no food or water for them out there at all. Nothing. They would have shriveled up and died in no time. 17. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. After they begin to enjoy the good life in the Holy Land, God says that Israel may forget about God and think, it is because we are wise and hardworking that we have it so nice. God says you're going to say, we give all the credit to us. And they will forget about God. Verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. And so it is the blessing of God that makes things go well for His people and for people in general. You know, it is possible to be hardworking, talented, and still not be successful. Nothing works unless God adds His blessing to it. And what this verse teaches is that no one is self-sufficient except God. We are all dependent on His blessing. Verse 19. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. If they ever forget that their blessings are from God, if they ever ascribe the source of their good things to them, and if they start worshiping false gods, God says, I promise you, you're going to perish. Little by little, one calamity after another, one judgment after another, one invasion from an enemy after another, you're going to perish. 20. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. See, God has no pets. He has no favorites. If Israel starts acting like the heathen who the Lord drove out of the Holy Land, then the Lord will drive them out as well. And Father, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name, amen. And we'll pick up our study next time in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9, verse 1. Until next time, Mike Moret, so long, everyone.